Well, hello. It's good to be back with you again to present to you another message in this Beautiful Church series. A couple weeks ago, we began by looking and talking about the beautiful God. And we talked about how He is marvelously beautiful, more beautiful than anything else could be, both in His being and in everything He does. That He is transcendently beautiful above all other things. And then we looked last week at the first of the four questions that we want to look at with this Beautiful Church series. And the first is, what is the church? What is it? And we noted three things from 1 Corinthians 1 about the church. We noted that it is of God. It is God's creation, not man's. It is God's idea, not man's. It is of God. And all those who are believers are of God. It is local yet universal. The primary focus of the church is locally based on individuals in our lives, but yet not disconnected from the universal broader church. And that it is a unique grouping of people who are driven by a specific purpose. That these people, all the people in the church, are unique in that they are saved by grace and they have been brought from death to life by God. That they are unique in that they are not bound by sin anymore. They are not enslaved to sin. They are not on Satan's side, but instead they have been brought from death to life and they're saved of God. And that makes them unique in this world. Again, not because of themselves, but because of God's grace. And they are also driven by a specific purpose, to be holy, to honor God with their lives, to serve Him and worship Him. And so the church, we need to understand, it's God's creation. It is distinctly local and yet universal. And it is a gathering of people who are unique people by the grace of God in their lives, people who were dead and are now alive, and people who are driven by a specific purpose, which is to be holy, to love God, to obey God, to serve God, to grow, to be more like Christ. So that was the first week. Now, this week we're going to look at the second question, which is, why does the church matter to believers? Why does it matter? And I understand that there's a little bit of tension here, because oftentimes the people who hear sermons like this are people who have already made strong commitments to the church. But my goal here is not to try to guilt trip people into greater valuing the church or to try to burden people. But my goal is to help you to see that the church is, by God's design, meant to be a blessing to all of His children, not a burden. And when we allow it to become a burden, that's on us, not Him. And we can do something about it. And to help us to answer this question, why does the church matter to believers? I want to give you five realities to consider. Now, we could spend months talking about this and never get to the end of all the benefits that the church is meant to be for believers, why the church should matter for believers. But I want to just hit on five of them. The first is Jesus loves His church. The second is commitment to church is an expression of love to Christ. The third is that the church is the place to hear God's word and grow by it. The fourth is this, so that you may grow in grace, knowledge, and love. And the fifth is so that you may be useful to God. Now again, my desire is that we would see that God intends the church to be a blessing and a joy for us. Not something that's always happy, but something that's always beneficial to us, that can always help us to grow, can help us to love Him, can help us to serve Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I ask in our little bit of time that You would give me clarity and quickness, and Father, that You would bless everyone who's listening, that they would consider very thoughtfully what is the value of the church, and how they should then understand her and treat her and respond to her in certain ways. Give us wisdom and grace as we dive in Your word. Be with Deb Marks and be with Ed, be with with all the people in our church who are hurting, who are traveling. Be with all those who are still staying at home because of health concerns. I just pray you would encourage them and comfort them. And Father, you would build in them a great anticipation and desire to be back together with the body of Christ. I thank you again that we can record these messages so everyone can be a part. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first answer that I have to why the church matters to believers is because Jesus loves the church. This is huge. In Ephesians 5:25, the Apostle Paul is talking to husbands in particular, and he says, "Husbands, love your wives." And then he gives a comparative. This is how you should love your wives. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now that is a huge statement about Christ's commitment and love, not to just one individual believer, but to the church. Not only does Jesus love his church, but his love is enough to have him give himself up for her. Now, if I give up my life for someone else, that can be considered an expression of love, but not in comparison to what Jesus did. Jesus came from heaven, a place where there was never any sin or temptation or fear or anxiety or hunger or thirst, and he came here for us as an expression of his love. And he lived and he died, and then he endured all of God's wrath for us as an expression of love, to show his love to the church. Jesus died for his bride, for his church. We need to understand that yes, there is aspects where you could say, you know, if there were only one believer, Jesus would have died for you too. Well, you can say that. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but we need to understand when Scripture speaks of God's love, He speaks of it in the sense of it's not just about you. It is about you, but not just about you. It's about the church, all of those whom God has loved and saved. And his love is full and complete for his church. And if God loves the church this much to send his son to die for her, if Jesus loves the church this much to live, to come from heaven to here and live and be rejected and despised and murdered and endure the wrath of God on our behalf. If he did all of that because of his love for the church, then how can we ignore the church? How can we criticize the church? How can we minimize the church? How can it not benefit us? If he loves it that much, is it that flawed? Now, please understand, I'm not saying that the church does not have issues. The church does because people are involved. We're involved. But understand, the concept of church is God's idea, and he loves it. And for us to be overly critical or to minimize it is to miss the reality that Jesus loves his church. And he showed it to us. The second point that I want you to see is that commitment to the church is an expression of love to Christ. In other words, if there's no commitment to the church, then it is a very, very distinctive statement of a lack of love for Christ, the one who loved his church and died for her. Look at in Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies." In other words, our priorities should not be us, but him. Our desires should not be our joy and our satisfaction first and foremost, but his. We are to seek him first, seek to honor him first. And if he loves the church, if he is glorified when the body of believers gathers together to worship and to study and to serve and to give, then for us to minimize it shows a lack of love for him. It shows selfishness in us. We are to put our entire lives in the hands of Christ because we are bought with a price. We are no longer our own, but we are his. Another text in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Friends, by God's grace, all those who have believed in Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, in Christ alone, are included in the body of Christ. And if you are a part of his body, but you refuse to be united regularly with the rest of the body, what does that say about you? What does that say about your opinion and your love for the head, Jesus? If you seek to neglect the rest of the body and also seek to neglect the fact that the body needs all of its members. James 10, verse 25, we're instructed not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. If we love Jesus, then we will trust that whatever he commands is not meant to hurt us, but to bless us. Our obedience shows the extent of our love. And if we decide to minimize or to marginalize or to throw aside the gathering of the body of Christ, that our commitment to the local church, then that says something about our love for the groom of the church, the head of the church. And we need to be very cautious about this because in reality, scripturally speaking, our commitment to the church is an expression of our love to Christ. Our third point that we want to look at this morning is the church is the place to hear God's word and grow by it. Why does the church matter to believers? Because the church is the place to hear God's word and grow by it. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:17. He's praying. He says, "God, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." It's through the word that we become sanctified. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's word is vital for believers. And it is through God's word that we not only know the gospel, but we also know our God and thus know how to love him better and serve him better and love him more faithfully. Now, you can say that you value me or you love me. But if you don't get to know me at all, then it makes it very difficult for that to become true or tangible. All right? So if you loved me and Father's Day was coming up or my birthday was coming up and you said, "Well, I want to get something for Paul Lamberson because I really love him and I just want to encourage him and support him." So you buy me a t-shirt with my favorite, with a baseball team on it, because you know I love baseball. Well, that's good. That can be an expression of love. But if you buy me a White Sox t-shirt, well, that tells me something about the extent to which you know me. Because I am a diehard Cub fan, and I don't cheer for the White Sox. I pretty much will cheer for any other team, not the White Sox. And so if you try to present me with that gift, I probably would take offense to that because I haven't tried to hide the fact that I'm a Cub fan. We do the same thing to God when we try to present our lives to him as a living sacrifice in ways that he has explicitly told us he is against. We have to be very careful here and understand the great value of the word of God. But some might ask, well, why can't I just read the Bible by myself? I mean, why do I need the church to explain to me the truth of God's word? Well, I agree that in part you can learn by yourself. but not to the full. God has equipped the church explicitly with pastors and teachers whose job and gifting, which is more important, their gifting by the Spirit, is to teach believers. This is why the Apostle Paul told the young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself, make this a primary priority in your ministry, to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Well, why was it so important for Paul to tell young pastor Timothy to publicly, in the church, to devote himself to the reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching? If people can just get the same out of reading it themselves. Because there is something that God intends for us to get from the Word of God that we cannot get on our own. That we need God's blessing through pastors and teachers to get it. Now, can God give it to us another way? Sure, he can do whatever he wants. But God has determined that his means of seeking to sanctify us and help us to grow is through pastors and teachers who he has equipped. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. I haven't been clicking my slide, so we looked at that one. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Notice that it is Jesus who supplies what is needed in the church for the church collective to grow. To begin with, he gave apostles, prophets, and evangelists so that the church would know God. They would know the gospel. They would believe in the gospel. They would know God. They would obey God. And Jesus continues to bless his church with pastors and teachers so that his people, his church, his love, would be instructed in the truth, would be equipped for works of service, would be built up in unity and thus becoming mature. And his means for doing that, his means for getting us to maturity is through the ministry of pastors and teachers, through the proclamation and explanation of the Word of God. The church is the place where God puts and equips pastors and teachers to move us all to maturity. Which means there's a great responsibility then that is placed upon pastors and teachers, because we can mess that up. If we are not sticking to the Word of God, then we are not doing our job and we are hindering the whole church. But all members of the church need to understand that it is God's means, God's desire, God's purpose to bring us to maturity through the ministry of the church, of the proclamation of the Word of God through the church. Well, some may say, well, I can just watch a teacher or the TV or a radio and get blessed that way. So why do I need to commit myself to a church to be able to benefit? Well, teachers can be had at a distance, but pastors cannot. Notice that the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 that he equipped the church with pastors and teachers. Now, pastors are to shepherd God's flock through example, through instruction, through counsel, and through encouragement. You cannot properly shepherd at a distance. The instruction given to elders in the scriptures make that clear. So yes, you can get the benefit, some of the benefit from the teaching of the Word of God, but not the pastoring. We need to see this and understand that the church is the place to hear God's word and grow by it. It is God's divinely ordained plan to bring us to maturity through the ministry of pastors and teachers in the church. Through the church. So why is the church important to believers? Well, part of it is because it's the place where you hear the word of God and you grow by it. Our fourth point this morning is so that you can grow in grace, in knowledge, and in love. Now, Ephesians, again, going back to Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure, or the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Friends, it is through the people and gifts that Jesus gives to the church that believers grow. Notice that Jesus gives these gifts specifically to equip people for works of service, to prepare people and to bring people to unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son and to become mature. Now, some of you can say, well, some of these things I can do on my own, which is true, but even those you can't do to the fullest extent, to the same degree as you can in the church. God has set up the church for our benefit so that we may grow. And he decides to use each of us together in each other's lives to grow in that way, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, to see people, for example, to see people who are humble and have them, their humility, cause us to humble ourselves. To see people serving and for that to cause us to desire to love better or serve better, to disciple and be discipled. God set it up this way so that it would grow. In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Apostle Paul says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. How many of you have spent time exercising or on a diet plan? Most all of us have at some point in time. We think about physical training a lot. We think about how we have to get our bodies in shape and how we have to get our minds in shape and how we have to control what we eat and all these other things we think about and we spend a lot of time working on. Yet, I would ask how much of our time is spent on training in godliness. How much of us have made this determination to say that I want to be in the church and to be used by the church for the sake of my own godliness? I'm going to discipline myself so that I gain from it. Now, understand that this implies and demands not passive church attendance. So if you come to church, you sit there with your arms crossed, you never sing, you never give, you never serve, you never open your Bible, and you come in for your hour thinking that that's just punching your ticket and now God's satisfied, well, you've missed the whole thing. God desires for the church to help us to grow. And part of the way in which we do that is by being humble, being a servant and serving, being a giver, being a lover of people, being someone who learns what it is to be forgiven and learns then how to forgive inside of the church. Someone who learns what it is to be a sacrificial servant like Christ was inside the church. The church is where we learn and where we grow in grace and knowledge and love. And we do this together as a body, not as individuals in our own lives doing our own things. Fifth, and the last one, so that you may be useful to God. I want to remind you that God saved us not for ourselves. God saved you for him and for his purposes. Remember, you were bought with a price, the price of the blood of his Son, not so that you could do whatever you want, so that he could form you, so that he could make his bride beautiful with you and through you for his Son. It's not about selfishness, but about love, which is never a burden, but a blessing to you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Galatians 6 makes the point that we should do good to all people. We should never tire of doing good, especially to those who believe. I mean, in other words, the point, the primary focus of our good works, of our doing the things that God prepared in advance for us to do, should be done in the church, in and through the church. God remade us in Christ, made us born again in Christ, so that we may be useful for his purposes, to do the good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. Romans 12:5, it says, "In Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We need to remember that it's not just about me and Christ, that there's more to this than just that. Each believer belongs to the others. We are to love and serve each other in sacrificial love. I still have my some issues with my knee from when I fell in the Pigeon River. And it's amazing how one part of your body could impact all of it. And it's the same in the church. We are one body. And if you get one part that says, "I'm not going to love God, I'm not going to be a peacemaker, I'm not going to be humble, I am not going to," then it affects the entirety of the bride, the whole of the body. And the way in which you deal with that is as the whole body coming around and saying, "No, we love Christ too much for that." And so in love, we're going to call you to repentance and obedience. Because our great desire out of love for Christ is to make our local church as beautiful of a bride as we can by God's grace for the coming groom. Because we love him so much, we want this place to be beautiful. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it also says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The manifestation of the Spirit here is what we often refer to as spiritual gifts. And what Paul says, that every believer has been given at least a spiritual gift, and they have been given to us not for ourselves, not for our own pride, but for the common good. In other words, for the church, for the good of the church. We are given gifts by God for first and foremost to benefit the church. And then in Ephesians 4:15-16, "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." It is through the collective speaking the truth in love that God uses us to grow into a body worthy of Christ, our head. But that term, speaking the truth in love, can also be translated as truthing in love. In other words, living the truth in love. Not just what we say, but what we think and how we act. All of that. For it's God who upholds our body together and supports it so that we may grow. And this happens as each part does its work. This means that when we, as individual believers, neglect the church, the entire church suffers. Which shows our lack of love, not only for Christ the head, but also for our brothers and sisters in Christ, which John tells us we cannot love God if we say that we hate our brothers and sisters. And if we don't say that we hate them, but we show we hate them, well, what's really the truth? Why in the world would God give us such an opportunity as individual believers to benefit all others? The church is an expression of God's love for each of us and all of us. His grace for each of us and all of us, and his blessing for each of us and all of us. Now, before we close this morning, I want to give you a quote from Kevin DeYoung as a reminder that the church truly matters to believers. He said this, "In more than a decade of pastoral ministry, I've never met a Christian who was healthier, more mature, and more active in ministry by being apart from the church. But I have found the opposite to be invariably true. The weakest Christians are those least connected to the body. And the less involved you are, the more disconnected those following you will be. The man who attempts Christianity without the church shoots himself in the foot, shoots his children in the leg, and shoots his grandchildren in the heart. Why does the church matter to believers? Because Jesus loves it. Because our commitment to the church is an expression of our love for Jesus. Because the church is the place where God means for us to hear the word of God and grow by it. It's the place where we can grow in grace, in knowledge, and in love as we use our gifts and other people use theirs, so that we may be useful for the kingdom. The church is infinitely valuable. And it has value for all believers. So don't neglect it. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you for the goodness of who you are and what you've given us. I ask, Lord, that you would remind us again of the beauty of the church and you would help us to see all of its beauty in full. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.